You know, I was thinking, you know, during your discourse, it was very, you had some great questions, and I was thinking, why can't I do this in my meditation normally? Or why don't I? Why can't I introvert the mind? I think, you know, I came up with this, seems like really good excuse. That it's just veiled by the ignorance of, you know, being the mind or the body, you know, just kind of that whole. But then I started thinking, okay, well, is that really valid excuse? You know, is that... Yeah, because I feel like I sit down and meditate. I have good intentions. But, you know, there's something about hearing this teaching that, and maybe there's, and I know there's more to it than the words themselves, because the words, I know, I kind of get a sense where they're coming from. They're coming from a place that's way deeper than the words, the world, whatever. Coming from the absolute. And I think that's what really drives my mind inward.
To the same absolute.
Yeah, to the same absolute, yeah. So, but it seems like that, you know, it would be nice if, I don't know, I guess if I could just some, I don't know, I'm sort of like in this catch-22, you know, this cyclic mind thing, you know, self-projecting itself in itself and kind of going around.
How did you get into that? You sure you got into that?
Yeah, no, I know what you're asking. Essentially, exactly that, you know. Did I ever really get into that? I mean, can you even go into that?
See, you don't have any problem asking these kinds of questions.
Just believed. Yeah, there's no...
But you don't seem to really believe it. From the ever-present existence, your own being, naturally flows the knowledge, naturally shines the knowledge, which manifests the inquiry that questions what is real, who are you?
Well, that's true too, that it seems like it doesn't even have to be a meditation where I'm sitting down or anything. Sometimes it just seems like
of course that
reality just shines forth on its own.
And that should rightly be called meditation. Meditation should not be regarded as a bodily posture.
Yeah. Or something the mind's doing. Mm-hmm. Occupied, so it doesn't cause trouble.
Then it shouldn't be limited to a particular time. Quite obviously, mind transcendent inquiry or meditation is not a mental activity and has none of the limitations or conditions of a mental activity.
Yeah, it seems like maybe because it seems like I fill my whole day up with mental activity. in a certain sense. You know, solving this problem, that problem. I mean, there's like, it's so full of stuff to work on. You know, and you kind of dig one out and you have another one, you know, 10 more appear and you have to, you know, kind of...
The conception of your day is also more mental activity, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So mental activity is filled with mental activity. The mind seems to fill its own space. But in what space is the mind contained? There can be vast space and then space inside a jar. And then if we get preoccupied with the space inside the jar, we can say this space inside the jar is all concerned with the jar itself. But really it's one space, which has got nothing to do with the shape of a jar. So it is with consciousness and the so-called mind. As there's really no jar space, there's no mind space.
I guess what I'm sort of trying to allude to is that there's this belief that you still have to think of reality, like it's a lot better to read a book on reality or contemplate it or something, you know, come to hear the teaching. You know, but it seems like right now the activity level of, you know, of the mind, it just has to be high.
All right. Listening and reading and such, whenever you can do so, is beneficial. And they're always recommended everywhere. But yourself does not depend on those. There are many lessons that can be learned from this. The first is, of course, when we don't have access to things spiritual, their dearness or their importance, then seems to strike home. Now, if only people would see their preciousness while they were available, readily available, while we had the time to do so. It's like that with a whole lifetime. While we have the opportunity, why don't we seize it? When the book is available, it lies on the shelf.
Yeah.
When a satsang is happening, maybe we go, maybe we don't. I'm saying this in a general sense. Mm-hmm. I know you yourself tend to be very attentive to these things. But the importance of these things should be known while they're present with us, not when that is threatened or absent. Secondly, you realize how interior the knowledge must be, that it is not interfered with, even by the activities of the mind or intellect that are necessary at points, such as your present work. Thirdly, you must see yourself as that consciousness which the unmoved silently witnesses all those activities, not only of the waking state, but any state of mind. If we learn these kinds of things, then a busy time is not really that busy.
Yeah, that's really true. I think busyness is only a mental mode or whatever. I don't know what you have to, what you call it, but it sort of is like...
It's a mental mode, and the constricting or problem part of it is only with the misidentification. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, when everything's going on, nothing is actually going on. If you are not the mind, you are not engaged. If you're not the body, you do nothing. Even while the body is active, you're doing nothing. Even while the mind is concentrated and thinking very rapidly, nothing is going on. It is still silent. For you, the real self.
So that's, by the way, that's sort of the goal. I mean, if I think of a goal, while my mind is kind of busy churning out this stuff, I think that there should be that rock solid. You know, it's just like you know, we have meditation night. You know, you kind of get that rock solid feeling. And when we have a talk like this, you know, you kind of get that rock solid feeling.
Does it feel solid for you now?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it feels...
Do you expect it will become less solid later?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay. And if that is the case, what do you expect to shake the solidity? There's nothing hidden about knowledge or ignorance, so what's going to shake it?
My identification with a mind. And then boom, voila, you got everything else.
So then even now, attend to the knowledge that you cannot possibly be the mind. You are not the mind, you are not in the mind. In truth, there is no such thing as a mind. If there appears to be a mind, you are the silent witness thereof. If the nature of that witness is known, it is pure consciousness. In that which is unmixed consciousness, there can be no division or boundary, no way to separate some part of it and call it a mind.
Okay, can you go over that again? Mm-hmm.
Nothing will actually steal away your wisdom except you. Right. It's just like happiness. So if you expect the misidentification with the mind, why not inquire and know even now that you're not the mind? You're not in the mind. In truth, there is not really an existent thing called the mind. What is called the mind is ever so many thoughts. The thoughts in themselves have no existence apart from the consciousness which knows them. Apart from thought, there is no mind. Apart from the consciousness, there is no form called thought. The consciousness itself is utterly formless. It alone has a non-dependent existence and thus is real. In the appearance of the mind or thought, you are always the consciousness and never the form of thought. Hence they seem to come and go, yet you remain. They are the known, you are the knower. Why imagine that the known has anything to say about the knower?
don't know if there'd be a good reason for that.
No, there's no good reason for any part of illusion. How could there be a reason for something that doesn't exist?
This is a very good meditation, though. I think that it, I guess what you just stepped me through, though, was the clarity of knowing my identity as that consciousness. And how it could never be a thought. But is that knowledge, I mean, it is very clear in a certain sense when you describe it. However, obviously you're not going to be thinking of that. It's going to be more direct than that as an experience.
There is consciousness shining in your experience now. It is identical with your existence. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that? Do you need to think about that to know that?
You don't need to, but...
What thought cannot create, thought cannot destroy. Since you know where the vasana will arise or what it will be, cut it at its root. Who am I?
When you say, I know the vasana, in other words, the identification with thought.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see.